Hello, everybody. This is Flurry on Films. This week, we're talking about True Lies.
Hit the music.
And I'm Michael Flaherty.
And this is Flaherty's on Films, a super cool podcast where we talk about films. This week,
you got a real NPR voice going on. It's very calm.
Do you not like it?
I love it. Keep going.
And this week, we're talking about True Lies from 1994. Michael, can you tell us what it's about?
A fearless globetrotting terrorist battling secret agent has his life turned upside down when he discovers his wife might be having an affair with a used car salesman while terrorists smuggle nuclear weapon warheads into the United States. Clean, what are your initial impressions of the film?
So I guess we'll go more into it, but my initial impression was sometimes I watch this film and I'm like, this might be my favorite film. And then I watched it some more and I did not care for it.
Yeah.
So it was conflicting. That was my initial impression. Conflicting.
Conflicting. I'm not conflicted. I have a low opinion of this movie. I think it's stupid. Sometimes it's stupid where you're like, oh, it's really like dumb. It's funny how dumb it is. But other
I think some of the campy parts were inspired. Like, I think some of the dumb parts were so good.
It helps that Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's not a good actor, was doing it because it's like...
Correct.
He can't react like, oh, this is weird that I'm on a horse. He's just kind of determined, like, this is what I'm doing. That helps sell the bit. But there's just the general sort of sense of humor this movie has. I really dislike, generally.
Sure. This is not James Cameron's finest film.
I might not even like James Cameron. That might be the problem. Although the action, I thought it was actually well done. But that's bullshit. I don't care about that. What I do care about is our first segment of the show called BAM.
Time for Sam, the part of the show where Sam comes on and tells us the best facts about the best film, True Lies. Sam,
here we go.
You don't like James Cameron? I thought you loved Titanic. It's an A+ film.
I mean,
Aliens is good.
Bad people can do good things.
That's very fair. After seeing the 1991 French film, La Totale.
I think that might
Isn't
be
that
perfect.
Beautiful?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. It has an exclamation point at the end of it, like Moulin Rouge.
I could tell.
Arnold Schwarzenegger approached James Cameron. He wanted to make a film exactly like it. He really liked the super secret agent character. Cameron was impressed that Schwarzenegger had never suggested a project based solely on
Sam,
the character
before.
Sam,
can you do an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression where he says, I want to be a spy, James Cameron?
Oh, boy.
Please. Try it out.
I've almost had enough wine to do it, but I don't know if it's
I think
bad
you should
enough.
Try it out.
James, I want to be
James,
a spy.
James, I want to be a spy.
James,
I want to be a spy. James.
Mine's just yelling. It doesn't sound anything like him.
Super secret spy.
We all did it perfectly.
Man,
good
we're good.
For us.
God, there was like five Schwarzeneggers in here.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know how sophisticated I am is when Sam mentioned making an American version of a French film, I immediately thought of Les Cousins Dangereux from Arrested Development.
I totally thought that too.
Doesn't have any of the eroticism of the French version. Anyway, go on.
So Cameron was just mostly impressed because Schwarzenegger beforehand would be like, ooh, action film. Ooh, this is the stunts I can do. But this one, he's like, I like this character. So he's like, I'm impressed. Let me see. So he watched the film and he fell in love with a very specific idea of it, which is, who would James Bond be if he got home and had to answer to his wife?
Oh, boy.
And with that, the film True Lies was in the works.
I mean, yeah, that is obviously what the premise is. But
yeah. So, obviously, the role of Harry was going to be played by Schwarzenegger. However, casting the other film's roles were a bit more complicated. Tom Arnold was going through a very brutal and very public divorce from his wife, Roseanne Barr, at the time.
Who's she?
Colleen?
She is a very complicated character in our popular culture in that she was...
Was she on a television show?
She had a very successful television show, and what a feat for a woman, especially not a gorgeous woman, making it her own way and being one of the head writer and
sounds creator, like an idol,
one of the most successful television shows of the 90s. But also, she's a nutter in a real bad way.
People say that a lot about women, though. Are you just?
I really hope this isn't going to turn into a Stacey Dash moment again.
No, Roseanne's. Yeah, yeah. They do say that about women, Mikey. That when they get older, they're just crazy. But this one is correct.
But it's you know, not always.
It's accurate here.
Yeah,
it can be sexist and correct. Isn't that a thing?
That's a common saying. Yeah.
Yes. Go on, Sam.
It could be sexist and true. Sorry, it's a common good saying that we should all say.
I can't get past that. Okay, hold up. So Arnold wasn't really popular with the casting world at this time because, like, there were these really big, like, flamboyant situations that were happening with his divorce. So they weren't really excited to cast him. But Cameron noticed his instant chemistry with Schwarzenegger during his audition, and he decided he was going to cast him. 20th Century Fox initially opposed the casting, and Cameron was so determined, he threatened to take the movie to another studio unless they agreed to cast Arnold.
I'll tell you this. They do have really good chemistry.
Yeah, they seem like friends. Yeah.
It created a real friendship between Cameron, Arnold, and Schwarzenegger that still exists to today. And they were actually able to use some of Arnold's drama as inspiration for the film. Roseanne Barr actually did take everything out of his house while he was out, including the ice trays from the freezer.
That reminds me of the Grinch. He did that.
That's a funny joke.
So before Jamie Lee Curtis was cast, some other options they actually had signed on, but she did leave, was Jodie Foster. And then some other names that were thrown around were Roseanne Arquette, Annette Bening, Gina Davis, Madonna, Joan Cusack.
Every one of those women has the same problem as Jamie Lee Curtis, and that they're all way too good for this film.
Oh, wait, Michelle Pfeiffer and Emma Thompson.
What?
That makes sense. Wait, no, we saw a movie where Arnold Schwarzenegger and Emma Thompson were together.
No, what movie was that?
That's the one where Arnold Schwarzenegger got pregnant with Danny DeVito.
Oh, yes! Which I saw the entirety of! Junior!
Weren't you guys just going to watch the beginning of that?
Watch the whole thing. And we're like,
too good. Where's this going to go?
I forgot they were in that together.
They fell in love. They were the couple.
It was the baby in Arnold Schwarzenegger that he was growing.
Oh boy. So a couple of things about this film that are pretty impressive. And by a couple, I mean one. True Lies is the very first film to have a production budget that exceeded $100 million.
James Cameron loves that shit.
Yup. It was filmed over 7 months. And Arnold Schwarzenegger does a lot of impressive things in this film, including riding a horse and some gunfighting and some fist fighting. But the hardest thing he had to do in this film was tangoing. He had to rehearse the scene for 6 months because he wanted to be as good at the tango as Al Pacino in Scent of a Woman.
I know Arnold Schwarzenegger might be bad. He might be a bad dude. Didn't he have like a bad affair or something?
He had an affair with the nanny.
He's so cute.
People has affairs. I don't think it's like, I mean, I think right. It's just standard Hollywood.
There's a lot worse behavior than having an affair.
Right. So I think the worst part of that is he had a secret child, but whatever, man. I mean, I don't know. That's not being like me, too.
Is it really a secret child when the child looks exactly like him?
Just classic Hollywood scumbag stuff. It's not like career ending stuff.
I just want to say I'm charmed by that Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He's very charming.
Well, then I will tell you a fact about him actually filming this. So he had horse experience, riding horses experience from Conan.
I don't know why the phrase horse experience was very funny to me.
That's why I had to add the riding the horse.
Yeah, so he had riding experience.
Thank you very much.
He had riding the horse experience from Conan the Barbarian. But he did have to ride a horse, and at one point the camera boom hit the horse while they were filming.
Oh no!
Right by the edge of the building.
This is a sad fact.
And the horse went crazy, and it spun around, and it actually reared up, and so Schwarzenegger was about to fall, and it was about 90 feet down.
Geez.
And he quickly slid off the horse so he wouldn't fall off the building. But the stuntman, Billy, who was his stunt double, grabbed him. And Arnold Schwarzenegger says, quote, "This is why I will always love stunt people."
Aww. That's fun.
So that was a cute story. And now, unfortunately, I have to move on to a really tragic story. Yeah, sorry, guys. But it's important we acknowledge this, even though it's not fun or good. So in January of 2018, Eliza Dushku, okay, perfect.
I thought so.
Who plays Dana, the daughter, revealed that while filming this, she was sexually molested by the film's stunt coordinator, Joel Kramer. Apparently he groomed her and actually like
that spent... name is familiar. He's, I assume, has had other accusations.
Probably has, like, just kind of over time, and then actually like got one-on-one. But here's the bad, really, really bad part. Like, besides the fact that he molested her. We're not at the bad
part, yeah.
We're not even at the bad part. So Dushku, after she was molested, told a friend, and the friend, adult friend, confronted Joel Kramer on the set. And right after that, she was very badly injured in a stunt. And Jesus. So to quote her, she says, "There's no small coincidence. To be clear, over the course of these months rehearsing and filming True Lies, it was Joel Kramer who was responsible for my safety on the film, that at the time broke new ground for action films. On a daily basis, he rigged wires and harnesses on my 12-year-old body. My life was literally in his hands. He hung me in the open air from a tower crane atop an office tower 25 stories high. Whereas he was supposed to be my protector, he was my abuser." So she did fall. I think she broke some ribs, if I'm not mistaken.
And what happened to this guy?
Nothing, really. Because it was an accident. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't actually look into him because he just disgusted me so much. I didn't really care to.
That's fine.
He has not been working since these have come to light. He has had many accusations against him, including other stunt women.
He's not in the priz.
He's not in priz.
Not in the priz.
Not in the priz.
Should be in the priz, but he is not. Go on.
So she released a statement about this kind of when the Me Too movement was coming to be. And after her statement, all of her co-stars, including Schwarzenegger, Lee Curtis, Arnold, and James Cameron, all tweeted their respect and admiration for her.
Nice.
So
that's good.
Yeah. Okay. So I had to put that out there, but moving on to opening, the movie opened in the United States and immediately became number one opening weekend with almost $26 million in the US alone. It would end its box office smash run with $378.9 million worldwide, making it the third best grossing movie of 1994.
Damn.
Now, your question of the week.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Was this film nominated for an Oscar? And if so, how many?
I'm going to guess yes. No. If you're going to ask how many,
I'm saying no, zero.
I'm going to say two because I feel like they got an action one for sure.
There's no action Oscar.
There's like an action Oscar for best action.
There is not. That is not a thing.
Yes, in the shape
of best action.
The statue is of Jackie Chan instead of just like the normal guy.
Oh, that Oscar. Oh, God, I feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really the big one. No one cares about best picture anymore.
Yeah. So two, for one for action and one for action two. There's two Oscars.
Anyway, Sam, what's the answer?
The answer is a tie. It was nominated for one. It won none. But here's the interesting thing. It was nominated for Best Visual Effects, and it is the only James Cameron film to ever be nominated for Best Visual Effects.
That's funny.
Really?
And I'm curious on your guys' opinion on this.
My opinion is that's one of the only things he does well.
No, my question is, the film that beat it out was Forrest Gump, which we've watched recently, and you've said the visual effects were, okay.
No, I just think that with our like ever-growing better TVs, the visual effects don't look as good. But like at the time, they were amazing. So they win for that. That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah, I think True Lies is better than Forrest Gump that way.
What? You think True Lies is better than Forrest Gump?
Visual effects wise, yeah.
You know, no, I think the visual effects were because of like the stuff with Lieutenant Dan having no legs and the like, you know, being in past footage stuff, like the gimmicky stuff.
Those looked pretty bad, I think.
Well, I think they look bad now, Michael.
But I think True Lies looks fine today.
Well, because they don't do any gimmicky stuff.
There's a plane and floating in the middle of the city. I thought it looked really good.
All right, fair enough.
I thought the car running off the bridge, I thought all the stunts looked really, really good.
So I accidentally nominated this film
accidentally.
For this list.
Yeah, why?
Because Michael was like, I feel like watching an action film. And for some reason, guys, this was the number one film in my head. So I suggested it. So I really felt a need to find something very unique about this film. So are you ready?
Yes.
Yes.
This was the first Hollywood movie to be released in Vietnam since the Vietnam War.
All right. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Deserves to be on the AFI.
Now I know why you nominated it.
Yeah, exactly. So right after this came out, it was such a big film that immediately they're like, sequels. But Cameron was kind of busy with this other film, maybe you've heard of it, called Titanic. Mm. And time just kind of kept going by, and originally like they kept signing on, they had the script done in 2000, they kind of got everyone signed back on in 2001, and then you guys won't believe this, September 11th happened, and suddenly they're like, maybe we shouldn't make a film about terrorism. So
I get you. Yeah.
To quote Cameron, terrorism is no longer something to take as lightly as we did with the first one. I just can't see it happening, even given the current world climate. So basically, this film is kind of like a beloved film from your past. Like one of those movies that you're like, gosh, that movie is great. Like George of the Jungle, you know, that movie is great kind of a thing. And you just kind of remember it fondly.
You're saying so nostalgia is a thing.
Right. Exactly. Nostalgia. So people keep bringing it up to Arnold Schwarzenegger and James Cameron. Like, are you going to do a sequel? Are you going to do a sequel? It's been long enough. And they've talked about doing a show and whatnot, but not really like... They haven't.
James Cameron decided. Had like four avatars to make. He is busy.
Yeah, he kind of said, I'm done with that world. I think was his exact wording was he's like, I'm done with the True Lies world.
I need Pandora.
That being said, it was announced in 2019 that Disney Plus is working on a True Lies TV series.
They're going back to the True Liesiverse.
They are. So, look for, I guess, the show version of True Lies on Disney Plus in the upcoming years.
Well,
and
I know how to make inoffensive things, so that'll be interesting.
My final fact for you today that I'm really excited about is, sure, you can't, you know, you watch True Lies and you're done right now because there's no sequel.
Sure.
But there is a video game.
Whoa.
What?
Whoa.
True Lies, the video game, came out on Super Nintendo Entertainment Center, Sega, and Game Boy.
All right.
In 1994. And its reception is great. GamePro wrote, it isn't so much an entertainment vehicle as it is a torture device.
Oh, boy.
Next generation review said it's 10 entire levels of this great plain monotonous.
All right.
So apparently it's really fabulous, and a lot of people talk about how it's just really confusing.
Sounds
but
great.
If you are bored and you're sitting at home with nothing to do, there is a True Lies video game.
Damn. All right. That's funny.
And that was
Bam, time for Sam. I'm sad we don't have a movie tie-in video game segment, because there's some good ones. E.T., there's a whole landfill full
of... I've heard E.T. is the worst one.
There's like a whole landfill full of E.T. Atari cartridges. Anyway, that was a good segment, but now we got to go to Critics Corner, where we hear what the critics think of this movie.
I'll start.
All right.
By the way, I want to tell you my greatest accomplishment today.
Yeah.
I was writing some notes, and I spelled Schwarzenegger's name correctly.
I could never do that.
The first time.
Damn.
I You know, I even wrote it. I'm like, that's not right. So I had to Google it to make sure it was right. I don't
Holy
know how I did
fuck.
It.
I'm
I just
looking
want
at
everyone
the
in the podcast verse to know.
You know what? I'm looking at the word now and I almost don't believe you, but we could just move on.
I know. Schwarzenegger's comic confidence and good guy tenacity are a perfect balance. While Curtis wins our sympathy as his repressed wife, showing some deadpan drollery of her own, says Dwayne Brigg of The Hollywood Reporter.
Oh, I read this next review and this is just going to break Arnold's heart. horrible acting and the worst tango scene ever. He wow. worked so hard on that tango scene.
You know, I don't remember it being bad.
I literally don't remember it. So it can't
yeah.
be that bad.
I feel like it was just normal. Like, I feel like it was the kind of thing I could do as doing a tango as yeah. someone who cannot dance.
So maybe they got a point.
All right. This is Jonathan Rossabaum of Chicago Reader. If the Gulf War gave you an insatiable taste for burning oil and burning Arabs.
Oh, no.
That's this extravaganza review? Will tide you over for at least a couple days.
Is that wow?
Boy, oh boy!
We have a society has progressed. Okay, this is from Michael.
That's me. Is it you, Michael?
That's me. from Amazon reviewer. Where to begin? The worst part of this movie was in Arnold's treatment of his wife, whom he kidnaps and forces to pretend to be a prostitute. This might have been by me. If Arnold really loved his wife, then why would he subject her to such a humiliating and perilous ordeal? It's disappointing that Cameron, whose previous films featured such strong heroines, Terminator 2, Aliens, makes Jamie Lee Curtis into such a victim here. And I also laughed at a scene where, after they escape the terrorists, she kisses him while a nuclear explosion engulfs a Caribbean island behind them. That actually was, I'll just claim
Michael,
it.
That review you wrote on Amazon
is really good.
Really good.
It's pretty accurate. Yeah.
I actually, can we talk about it for a second?
What's up?
Because I think this is a weird disparity. So I don't think Cameron, James Cameron, the filmmaker, I don't think he
Cameron
is
James,
very
yeah.
good at writing characters in general. But I do actually think his women characters are pretty good. Like they're pretty one-dimensional, but so are the men. Like, even the characters in Avatar, Rose and Titanic, as they said in the review, Aliens and Terminator 2. Like, I think he's actually pretty good at... I'm sure he is an asshole and misogynist in real life, but it usually doesn't come through in his movies that badly. And this movie really took a left turn there.
Yeah, I mean, there's no depth to any of them. I mean, even Rose, who I really like. She's strong and cool, but I don't know. I don't feel
she's
like he really
cool,
gets women.
But she's strong and cool in the way Jack is. I'm saying she's as good and interesting a character as any other character in the movie.
Right. Rose is so cool because of Kate Winslet, not because of James Cameron.
Sure. So maybe he just gets really good actresses.
I'm right.
True Lies should get a remake and benefit from yeah. all the special effects breakthroughs that James Cameron has championed in the last 25 years and get rid of the basic racism and sexism that otherwise besmirch a fun, action-packed movie.
All right.
This is Alex Malady of Movie Emporium.
And here's from Diplo, the Amazon reviewer. This film is yet another exploitation of the transfer of American fear and anger from the commie Russians to the insane Muslims in the post-Cold War period. I'm only halfway through this review. Colleen, do you have any thoughts so far?
Nope.
They didn't even make a half-hearted attempt to soften the blow to Arab-Persian cultures by casting an actor of Middle Eastern heritage on the good guy side. Colleen, I'm about two-thirds through this uh-huh. review. Do you have any uh-huh. thoughts so far about
nope.
it?
Nope.
Alas, the star power of Arnie will be too much to dissuade anyone from viewing the movie. I have some thoughts about this review. I love how he says Arnie. Anyway,
that's your thought?
That was Critics Corner. Now we're going to go to our next segment, which we call favorite part, least favorite part. Colleen, what is your favorite part of the film?
Can I just combine them, please?
Sure.
Because so my real least favorite part is probably the sexual assault part, but we'll talk more about that later. But my other least favorite part is there are so many parts in this movie, especially in the beginning, where I'm like, I am here for this movie. Yeah. I am enjoying this so much. Arnold Schwarzenegger's campy performance, the silliness of it, the horse in the elevator. There were so many moments where I'm like, this is the kind of ridiculous, silly action movie that I love. But then there are moments where the movie takes itself too seriously. And then there are moments where it's just too sexist and racist. Like, you know, there's some weird dynamics when you see an old movie sometimes that haven't aged very well. But the movie's so good, it transcends it. You know, you watch Aladdin and you're like, nothing about this bothers me because I'm just having such a good time. But that was not the case with this movie. So my least favorite
part
is
that weird scene like where Aladdin did make Jasmine strip for him, which I don't think that aged well.
I thought that part was great. But anyway, I just thought there's just so many things about this movie that there were like some scenes in this movie where I'm like, I love it. But the bad parts of this movie were just so bad. I cannot overlook it. I cannot excuse it for having aged poorly. So yeah, those are my favorites and least favorite parts, really.
My favorite part is kind of your favorite part, the silliness. I don't give this movie a lot of credit, though, because like the reason they feel good to me is because they literally felt like they're written by a six-year-old. Just like the way like Arnold Schwarzenegger is a cool spy, and don't think it anymore. Like you're just your silliest, most simple notion of what that means is what it is in this film. And he'll sure. like, he just like dresses fancy, goes to cool parties and chases people on a horse, you know, through crowds, and he has a gun and he shoots people and he's blowing up shit. It's like, it's really like a child's imagination of what a spy is, but it's not like pushed to such an extreme where I feel like they're self-aware or it's done. There's no wit at all to this.
That's fair.
But you can definitely have fun with the stupidity of it. But yeah, then the rest of the movie's sort of sense of humor is just like, what? When
that's one of my favorite Onion videos where they interview the screenwriter for Fast Five,
yeah.
Fast and the Furious Five, and it's like a 10-year-old kid. And they're like,
and I understand Jordana Brewster is coming back for this installment.
Yeah, she's a girl and she likes to kiss, so she doesn't play with the cars, but sometimes she does, but mostly just the boys. Now,
that is a really funny bit. And that's how this movie is. There's a scene where Tom Arnold's getting shot and he's like, oh no! And he's like hide behind a pillar. And then the terrorist like shoots a bunch of shots at him. And the Tarnal's like, oh, I'm okay. Better check how my penis was. See if my penis was shot. And he goes, ah, it wasn't. And I'm like, is that the joke? That this is a real movie. It won an Oscar. And Tom Arnold had to do the penis check.
It did not win an Oscar.
Well, what you know, it's a real film really like non-ironically. I do want to compliment before we move on. The action in this movie is like really good, actually, I think it's all really competently shot. The fight scene in the bathroom, just the way it's shot, I felt like it was really clear what was going on. I actually kind of felt like it was nice. The music was really silly in a way that it kind of tipped the scales. It got so silly, I'm like, I can't even. This is great. How is this even real? It sounded like Seinfeld was doing an action scene. I'll put a clip in that in there.
I want to piggyback because I also like the action scenes. Like I think we've mentioned the horse in the elevator bit, but that chase scene was long, but it didn't feel too long, which I really liked. It was just fun to watch. I don't know. I also just okay. Can I don't want to belabor this too much, but
sure, go ahead.
I just feel like they should have hired a worse actress for Jamie Lee Curtis's part because she grounded this film too much.
Yeah, I mean the part is so bad to its core. I don't like what would save it.
That's true. I guess so. It feels like the emotional core of this movie is their marriage and how he is living a lie apart from her and she just feels ignored and unloved. And I'm just the way he handles it is so gross. And it never comes back to bite him. He gets rewarded
because it's not really kinda
grossly abusing his wife.
Yeah.
And I just, even in this campy, silly movie from a couple decades ago, I can't forgive that. I can't let that go.
Why would you? Why do you have any obligation to let it go?
I don't know. I do feel like sometimes I forgive movies for aging poorly. And this was a bridge too far for me.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I would push back. You said the action doesn't feel too long. I feel like it does sometimes.
Oh, it just definitely like does. In that particular scene I was talking about, it didn't feel too long. But there
just
are many.
The sort of feeling I get, and maybe this is just because I know it's James Cameron, I just feel like he's clearly more comfortable with action than comedy.
Oh, sure.
So he just leans into that more, and he's like, let's just spend another 20 minutes on this action.
By the way, James Cameron is funny. I have laughed out loud at bits in his movies. Not this movie, but...
Like when Tom Arnold was like, oh, my penis! Did you like that?
That was hilarious.
So, okay, you're right. Okay, I see where you're coming from.
Remember when Rose is on the Titanic and the guy who talked about naming is like, I wanted to talk about the sheer size. And she goes, have you read Dr. Freud's papers on men's preoccupations with size?
Another penis joke? Like, that's all. But in Aliens, where they talked about penises. Anyway, let's go. Let's walk through the plot of this film, which is called True Lies. Fuck this movie. Why is it called True Lies? It's a terrible title.
He's living a true lie. Isn't that the name of the French film?
Sam, what's the name of the French film? Say the French name again.
La Tour Hotel. It's like La Total. I don't know what that is in French.
So it's a bad title.
Yeah, it looks like La Total. Totally. Hotel. I think that's how you would say it in French.
Here we go. Henry Tasker, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, leads a double life. To his wife Helen, Jamie Lee Curtis, and his daughter Dana, he is a boring computer salesman, often away on business trips. But he is, in fact, a secret agent for the United States Counterterrorism Agency named Omega Sector.
All right, I don't want to be annoying about this, so I'm just going to bring this up one more time.
All right.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is neither a subtle, slick secret agent, nor can he pull off being a boring computer salesman. He is neither of those things.
He is such an action figure.
He is the most conspicuous human being in the entire world. If he came into a room, he'd be like, oh, that's a person I'm going to remember for the rest of my life. No way is Jamie Lee Curtis married to be like, oh, he's so boring. He just goes to his computer job. No fucking way. The guy who's clearly Austrian and a bodybuilder. Conan
the Barbarian-ass looking husband. He's just like a normal dude.
He's so boring. I can't even with this guy. He just cares about work and he doesn't even like sex. I don't know. Anyway, Harry, backed by fellow agents Albert Gibb Gibson, Tom Arnold, and Facile, infiltrates the party of suspected arms dealer and terrorist financier Jamal Khalid in Switzerland. By the way, this movie is probably pretty racist, but in a really lazy way. Anyway,
yeah.
So he goes into this party.
Well,
by the way,
I mean, hey, whoa. They're fighting Middle Easterners, but they are also one of their team members is Middle Eastern.
So it's fine. I actually did like the opening scene. I mean, it was an homage to James Bond in a really, again, kind of lazy way where he's like in a wetsuit and then there's a tux underneath it like, oh yeah, that's from Dr. No or some shit.
Literally like what a child would come up with.
Does a child see old James Bond films?
I think they have that amount of imagination. Have you seen Axe Cop?
Sure. Fair enough. But yeah, so he gets out and he goes into the party and there's the sexy woman who was in Wayne's World and
Lilo and Stitch.
What else was she?
Lilo and Stitch. She was Nani, the sister.
Lilo and Stitch is so good.
It's really fucking good.
Anyway, so he steals the financial records and then he and his team learn that the American antique dealer, Juno Skinner, played by Nani from Lilo and Stitch, recently received a suspicious payment from Jamal.
Harry visits her office undercover, posing as a corporate art consultant. Workmen at Juno's businesses are actually members of a terrorist group known as the Crimson Jihad, led by Salim Abu Aziz.
Suspicious. Why would they be called by an English name?
Plaho. Suspicious, Aziz and two of his men follow Harry and attempt to kill him. Harry slays the others, but loses Aziz in pursuit. As a result, Harry misses his birthday party that his wife and daughter prepared for him.
Right. And they chase each other, and one guy's on a motorcycle and goes into a hotel, and Harry's on a police horse.
I'm jumping ahead. Good, continue.
No, that's in it. That's in what you just read.
No, I mean, I was about to say something that jumps ahead.
Oh, I see.
But if you have more to talk about the horse.
No, I just really enjoyed him being anxious on a horse in the elevator. I just really liked it.
Oh, I was just thinking, the writing of this movie is so bad. So the idea is that, like, their marriage is not connecting, and Jamie Lee Curtis, the wife, is like, okay, I want to do this really special thing for your birthday. And he's supposed to go like, yeah, I'm going to be there. It's going to be fine. But because of the mission, he's late. But it's just like weirdly done in the movie where he feels like he should have known he was going to be late. Like, yeah. It's like he could there's one like, scene where it was like, yeah, I'll definitely be home. And then the next scene, he just like spends like 14 hours doing a spy mission. And he's like, guess I was late.
Which, it's by like, the way, I felt he's like in D.C. and chasing this guy. Again, looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger, like on a horseback through a hotel. People are going to know who he is. I know they didn't have smartphones then, but they weren't idiots. Like, they weren't how idiots. Is this covered up? I know I'm nitpicky on a silly movie, so that's not the worst problems. I agree with you. I think I really agree with you just because they do try to make their marriage really important. And the point is, he's never there. I think later, even Tom Arnold has a line where Arnold Schwarzenegger thinks his wife is cheating on him. And he goes, well, what do you expect? You're never around.
I did like his delivery on that. It's like, well, yeah, of course.
I kind of like how Tom Arnold's like, maybe you could just be fine with it. I mean, you're a terrible husband.
That was good. I did like that.
I enjoyed that. Anyway, go on.
I think it's your turn.
Harry heads to Helen's office next day to surprise her for lunch, but overhears her talking on the phone to a man named Simon, who is played by Bill Paxton. Fearing that Helen is having an affair, Harry uses Omega Sector resources, which is gross, to learn that Simon is a used car salesman who pretends to be a covert agent to seduce women. So we have to unpack this for a bit. First of all, what a gross waste of taxpayer money, which is a Tom Arnold line. And then he says, well, I'm going to tell them that you got off with a hooker. He's like, fair enough. And it's like, I think what Arnold's doing is so much worse, actually.
So I've made my point that I think this movie is weird and bad, but there is one advantage to that where this movie to me was unpredictable. I'm like, where is this going? Because
I did like
Arnold Schwarzenegger is clearly not a good guy, but he is the hero, and they capture Jamie Lee Curtis and there's no stakes at all. Like, what is going on? Like, at least I didn't know what would happen.
Did you like Bill Paxton's performance?
I couldn't because you guys were so excited. I watched this with you guys and you guys were so excited about Bill Paxton. I'm like, he's just a guy. I couldn't really wrap my mind about his amazingness.
Yeah, you know, he died.
Well, a lot of people die.
All right. I'm sorry that our excitement about Bill Paxton got in the way of you.
Like, was he amazing or what did you think about
him? No, he was so slimy in a very silly way.
Yeah, he was slimy.
Which I liked.
He did his job well.
What?
He did his job well.
Yes. I liked it until he try to rape Jamie Lee Curtis?
I mean, what do you mean you liked him until, like, that was his whole character? He didn't change characters during that
scene. Well, I felt like he was just trying to seduce her, and that's okay.
I mean, by lying.
Is that not okay?
I don't think you should try to have sex with people on a lie.
All right.
That's sort of my weird 2020 opinion.
Jeez.
Just right. Like an SJW, just like completely.
I didn't know
liberal.
You were so sanctimonious, Michael.
Yeah, it's like I got these rigid rules. Harry and other Omega agents disguised kidnap Helen and intimidate Simon into staying away from her. Using a voice changer, Harry interrogates Helen and learns that due to his constant absence, she is desperately seeking adventure. Harry thus arranges for Helen to participate in a staged spy mission where she is to plant a covert listening device in the hotel suite of a mysterious figure who is actually Harry himself, disguised in shadow.
All right. Whoa.
Can I just do the last sentence? Z's men suddenly burst in, kidnap the couple, and take them to an island in the Florida Keys.
There's so much here, though.
Go ahead.
So he kidnaps his wife.
Yeah.
And with his best friend there, starts interrogating, like, do you love your husband? Do you want to sleep with this guy? And I, what are we supposed to think as the audience?
Right. Because you're right that Jamie Lee in this scene is very realistically upset about what would really happen. She's like, oh, I've been literally captured, and this is like actually a traumatic experience for me.
Right. And God, her performance in this particular scene when she's being kidnapped is so raw and good. It does not belong in this film because it makes it too real. It's like, I can't, later when he's like, oh, I'm going to send my wife on an adventure, won't that be fun? I'm like, you've just traumatized her. You're making her believe she has to do this or go to prison because you think that will be a fun adventure for her. And that's what you're going to do to be a good husband, you fucking asshole.
Right. It's such a weird, yeah, I don't know what the point was. And I still don't really know what the point of this movie is.
Right. Okay. Now, Michael, you didn't actually go through it. Because then he's like, so her plan is you have to go pretend to be a prostitute and plant a bug in this room. And, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, because he's a super fancy spy with the best technology, has a
with big guns. Reporter.
What? Yeah.
I'm trying to do a six-year-old impression of this, how this film goes out.
Right. So he has a tape recorder to with a different voice to tell Jamie what to do, which is like strip and be sexy. And it's like, so you are kind of sexually assaulting her in a way, but it's okay.
Yeah, we get the second Jamie rape scene.
Yeah. But he's like, this is what I think my wife wants.
It's so bizarre.
And later, Jamie's like, aw, you. Ah, shucks. What?
Just, yeah, the vibe of this movie is so uncomfortable, which is why I deeply dislike it.
That's fair. I just can't believe she's not so angry with her husband.
You know, I think you're already giving it too much credit that you're even thinking about it. I'm just way more
literally
dismissive
of this. Previous scene we saw her be a real tortured human, and then we're just supposed to forget that she's a person.
Yeah, because this movie's dumb. That's
well,
my point.
Then they shouldn't have given so much weight to her journey.
Yeah,
like, they shouldn't have done that.
And we're not disagreeing.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, that's all my comments on that.
Yeah, I don't really have any. It's just weird. I thought
there was a weird moment where so she was supposed to dress sexy and she dresses in the most ridiculous like 80s floral outfit, but then she rips off the sleeves to be just a normal dress.
I feel like I heard a fact that so she like dances in her underwear. I heard that's like a very famous scene. Is that true?
I think so, because the scene, the shots where it's between her legs and him in the corner, that's like the movie poster.
It is considered like the most famous scene of the movie. And actually, that was Jamie Lee Curtis's real bra and underwear.
Okay. As opposed to what?
Like cast
CGI.
Oh, she brought her own underwear in.
Yeah.
I really didn't like that scene because I feel like if just the 90s audience was supposed to be like, wow, she's so into this. He's like helping her sexually awaken. And it's like, that is so gross.
Yeah, so dumb.
Because she thinks that she is doing this. She has to do this or go to prison. And she's doing this for some creepy terrorist, not her husband. That's really disturbing shit.
Yeah, we call these kind of scenes Harvey Weinsteining, modern day.
Yeah, anyway, this is fun. Go on,
it's your
Michael.
Turn. It's your turn.
Is it my turn already? Aziz reveals he smuggled stolen MRIV nuclear warheads into the country via antique statues shipped by Juno and threatens to detonate them in major U.S. cities unless the U.S. military leaves the Persian Gulf. He also plants one of the warheads on the island, intending to have it detonate after they leave to show the government his seriousness. Because we have to have two things going on. Mm-hmm. Aziz orders the couple to be tortured, and Harry, under true serum, finally confesses his double life to Helen. Just FYI, people at home, that is not how nuclear warheads work. It is very hard to get one. And even if you get one, you can't just detonate it. That's not how it works.
Why not? How does it work?
Well, it's just very complicated. Like, you need to store them properly. You need to house them properly. And to actually, like, set them off. You can't just, like, put a bomb somewhere and flip a switch. That's not
what do you do?
I'm not going to tell you.
I don't want the deets, man. All right. They escape to what? Wait, who is they?
Helen and Harry escape.
Helen and Harry escape to watch as the three remaining warheads are loaded into two trucks and a helicopter. Harry leaves Helen to attack Aziz's men, but Helen is captured by Juno and taken in her limo, which is following the two trucks on the overseas highway. Harry is rescued by Omega agents and pursues the convoy, sending two Marine Harrier jump jets to stop it by destroying part of the 7 Mile Bridge. Helen and Juno fight for a gun in the limo, and the driver is shot and killed. Hanging from a helicopter, Harry rescues Helen through the limo sunroof as Juno curses her luck as the limo falls off the damaged bridge and into the sea.
So, yeah, this is another thing I fucking hate about this movie. So this happens, and the nuclear warhead goes off not that far away, but I guess it's fine. And he and Helen kiss, and it's fine. And we're like, great, movie over. Fucking no. Fucking no. We have to do a whole other thing. James Cameron brought this to the executives. I'm like, wow, this seems like a finished movie. He's like, no. I need like at least $5 million more dollars.
We could skip the rest of this scenario.
Yeah, no, I'll just go over it. So there, you think the movie's over and like, oh no, your daughter's been captured. And it's like, fuck. And then there's a whole other bit with the terrorists and they have the daughter. Anyway, the point of that is that he gets in a Harrier jet and he flies into a building, but not in a scary way, guys. It's fine. It's comical. And he saves his daughter and it's fine.
Can I say something?
What?
That bridge is like a real bridge, right? The 7 Mile Bridge.
Yeah, it's in fucking Florida. I don't know why I'm
It's cool. Much. It's cool. It's like just in the middle of the water.
Yeah, because it connects Florida Keys Island, right, to Florida.
I just want to drive on that bridge. It seems like a cool bridge to be on.
The overseas highway.
Now we're gonna go to our next.
Whoa! Read the last fucking paragraph, Michael.
I thought we were skipping the paragraphs.
No, the last paragraph.
Oh, okay. A year later, the Tasker family, Helen United, and Helen has become another Omega sector agent. Whoa. Harry and Helen embark on a new mission together at a formal party where they encounter Simon seducing one of the female guests. Helen and Harry intimidate Simon into fleeing. The film ends with the couple dancing a passion.
Remember when they make Bill Paxton pee?
What a funny bit when he peed.
They did that twice. That was a joke bit? They did two times.
The piss bit was good. Yeah, for sure.
The overseas highway is a real highway.
Was it only twice? That's too bad.
To Key West, by the way, Michael, if you're wondering.
Nice. I got to go there. Disneyland Bridge. That's going to be my...
I don't think Orlando and Miami are that close to each other.
Yeah, the same thing. Yeah, I'll drive. I mean, I got to drive on the bridge anyway.
Right. Good point.
Yeah.
So should we call John?
Unless you have any more interruptions.
I always do, but let's call John. ring, John.
Yeah. John, hey, John, you there.
John.
And now for the good part.
Still bitter. John, do you have any thoughts or opinions about the movie True Lies?
Yeah. So True Lies is, you know, one of those Arnold movies. He liked it a series of these, like Total Recall and Eraser, you know.
Junior.
Sort of semi-campy. No, I wasn't counting Junior among that list, even though that almost certainly was in the middle of those movies.
He was pregnant in that, John.
I remember.
Danny DeVito, yeah, John.
I regretted watching it, too. putting Junior aside...
How can you?
I mean, they're these, like, semi-campy...
Junior came out the same year as True Lies, people. Sorry. Go on, John.
Should I? All right. I mean, semi-campy, semi-serious movies starring Arnold, because that's just who Arnold was. You can't take him that serious, but he's also a super mega action star, so you kind of want one of these serious movies. I don't get how we picked True Lies out of the set, because...
Sam?
I would Sam. Put it way behind many of the other movies.
Yeah, Predator's great.
Yeah, I think I'd put Predator ahead of it, but, like, Total Recall is a gem.
I like Total Recall.
I love Total Recall because it's just so stupid and yet so awesome.
You gotta watch it.
Feel.
Michelle is literally yelling Kindergarten Cop behind me, and I reject that premise.
Now I want to see Kindergarten Cop.
But I mean, the thing about True Lies is, it's in that same vein of, you know, campy, fun, semi-serious Schwarzenegger movies, but it's just not as good. I think my biggest complaint about True Lies is the cast makes no sense together. Like, I think all the main players are in different movies.
Yeah, I feel that.
Like, Tom Arnold, I like Tom Arnold as an actor, but he is so in a different place than everyone else.
Sure. By the way,
Arnold versus Jamie Lee Curtis.
We did not mention that Charlton Heston is in this film, and he is a literal piece of shit, may he rest. But his role was very funny.
Yeah,
Charlton Heston's character was supposed to be based off of Nick Fury.
What?
That's interesting.
So, leader of kind of the secret underground elite fighting crew with the eye patch. Thank you.
And yeah, I remember liking his part, but even funny. He felt like in a different movie.
Yeah, he felt like he wasn't a silly superhero movie. But also, again, he's a piece of shit, and I'm glad he's dead.
And I think I'm also relating to this, that the movie just in itself is kind of disjointed with different flavors of plot going on at different parts. Yeah. It's just, it's not my favorite. I will watch it, but it's just not my favorite. I also remember clearly that when this movie came out, the Harrier had just come out, and like the movie made such a big thing about, hey, look, it's the Harrier. Hey, did you remember we have the Harrier in here? Have you heard of the Harrier? But it wasn't that good of a plane.
He's just throwing the jet up by a building and like getting in and out of it like it's nothing.
Yeah, we get it. It's the first jet that can go up and down on its own. Cool.
Oh, Dad was really annoyed that they were pushing the realism of what the jet could do.
They pushed it. I mean, the Harrier was cool, and it was groundbreaking, but oh my god, they pushed it way too hard. Reminds me exactly of Live Free or Die Hard, where they were pushing the vertical takeoff F-35 just up in your face, and just ridiculous. Though, I would watch Live Free or Die Hard over this movie any day of the week.
That's a consistent film.
What?
That's a consistent film.
That is exactly my problem with True Lies. Consistency. True Lies is not a consistent movie in any respect. I would give it a C+.
Okay.
All right.
John,
solid.
Thank you so much for joining us. And that was no call.
Clean, what do you grade the film?
D.
Whoa.
D. Here's the thing. There were so many moments I enjoyed, but I don't like the themes of this film. I think John actually put a really good fine point on it, that it was just, it's very inconsistent. And a lot of the, I don't know what this film is trying to say or what it's trying to achieve. And the gross stuff is just, it isn't a good enough film for me to ignore that. So it's really low. I feel bad giving it that low because I actually really like all the performances in it. And I like a lot of scenes, but I hate some other things too much. So D is what I'm going to say.
I'll go D too. I don't like the comedy. The action is competent, but it's not my favorite. And I just don't dig the vibe of this movie at all. Glenn, who are we sponsored by this week?
This week we are sponsored by Microsoft. Apparently, Bill Gates is going to produce a vaccine that's going to put microbots in all of us and track our every move. So,
do we get psychic powers if that's the case? Because I've played Metal Gear Solid, and he gets nanomachines in him, and then he can read minds.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what we're going to get. So, thank you, Microsoft.
And all you have to do is pay the $10 Office 365 subscription, and you get to read minds. Thank you so much, Microsoft, for sponsoring this week's Flaherty on Films. Clean, what's our next film?
Oh, let me check here. It's A Few Good Men.
Shit. It's my favorite film.
Nice to know there are a few left in this world. Am I right, Michael?
Thank God.
And cut.